Hey everybody, it's Brian. Before I did this Seahawks stuff full-time, I worked as a manager and senior leader, so I know how lonely it can be to try to find someone you trust to talk through people issues, org issues, process issues as you try to lead an organization. Ryan Cleveland of RyanCleveland.com is someone I trust to have those conversations with. He specializes in working with CEOs and business owners, and you can get a complimentary free discovery session to see if it's a good fit for you. Just go to RyanCleveland.com to sign up and start now. Everybody, welcome to a Real Hawk Talk post-game show as the Seahawks win 18-16 against the Colts. I am Brian Emhauser. You can find me in this show everywhere on YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, at HawkBlogger. We've got Evan Hill at EvanHillHB. And before I bring Evan in, I got to do something here, folks. And I'm going to give you two warnings. So the first warning is I've got some things that I'm going to say at the front here that are probably not for kids' ears. So, like, there'll be some words said. And also, it's going to be a little loud, so you may want to turn down your volume, okay? So that's just your warning. It's coming up in here in a second. You'll know when it's coming. I have to set this up by saying my day at the game in Lumen Field was sitting directly next to a huge Colts fan. Now, I'm not talking about just he likes the Colts. I'm talking physically huge. Full man spread, taking up half of my seat, elbowing me the whole game, he and his buddy, massively drunk, just like absolutely screaming in my ear, and he was cheering for the Rams, and that game went the way it went, and the Seahawks won, and I got one thing to say. Let's fucking go! Let's fucking go! That felt so good! That felt so good! I don't give a shit that the Seahawks look like crap for that whole fucking game. Let's fucking go. Seahawks go to 11-3 and the Colts can go the fuck home. That's what I got to say. That's my starting salvo. Apologies for the young voices, young ears out there. Sorry for the young ears that had to deal with that sound, but I've been bottling that up for 4 hours, Evan. And I just had to share.
Was that one of the worst like in-person fan experiences you've had? Like where did that rank?
It was not even in the top five, I will say.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I've had some really bad ones, but this was like, it was almost the worst because he didn't really care. And so he was just intentionally trying. So the other thing he kept doing, I didn't say this, every time like I would be cheering, screaming for the defense or anything would happen, he would look at me like this close. He would just look at me. And I told my buddy, Aaron, I was like, if this keeps going, I'm not going to make a good choice. But I managed to hold it together. And goddamn, dude, it feels so good for that fucker to walk home like tail between his legs and knowing that, you know what? I don't care. I don't care about his Colts team because this was their freaking Alamo. This was their Alamo for their season. And guess what? Bye-bye.
And you know what? It sure felt like the officiating crew was trying to make that happen. This was a very poorly officiated football game. Like, I don't want to lose sight of that. Like, the Seahawks won despite, you know, a ton of execution errors, coaching mismanagement decisions. Like there's so much to criticize about this game, but this officiating felt very one-sided.
I just want to note that
I don't want to stay on it, but I do.
We'll come back to that because I do want to talk about that a bit. I mean, we're not like a let's hang things on the officials type of show. Like that's not where we go, but this was bad, man. It was really, really bad. Egregiously bad missed calls, and they all went the wrong way if you're cheering for the Seahawks.
Yeah.
But I can't believe you started with your first comments are about the refs. What the hell? That's not what you're here to talk about.
Yeah, so can I actually share my screen? Is that something I can do? So hold up. Give me a second here. I want to make sure I share the right screen. So hold up. So let's see. I have a lot of screens here. Let me pull it up, the right one. Okay. So we're gonna start off today's show filling out a little bit of paperwork. Is it showing on your side yet? Or
I'll put it up there for you.
Okay, perfect. Perfect. So we're gonna do some administrative work here at the end of this show, because I've been hearing a lot of shit for a very long fucking time. I've been abused. I've been verbally lashed. I've been attacked. People have put shit on my face, smeared everywhere. I get texts from people around the league who aren't even Seahawks fans anymore and work for teams and are like, Evan, how about that fucking kicker of yours? He really sucks. There's a lot of really weird hate dedicated to the isolated, singular, sole reason the Seahawks won the football game today. So what we're going to do? We're going to fill out some fucking paperwork. So there's a couple of sections here I've put together. Section one, the recipient of grace, kicker Jason Myers. How many kicks did he have today? Was it five or six? Like
six.
Six. So 18 points. This offense was completely anemic all day long. There's a lot of people, I think, who are like emotionally attached to Steven Hauschka, which is great. He was wonderful. I know he's still involved with the team, but Jason Myers gets a lot of shit, undue shit. And he's been phenomenal over the past month. Like this offense has struggled, but he's been one of the sole consistent pillars. So, you know what we're going to do here?
Nathan Ernst, Derek Gebbie, Brian M. Hauser absolutely belongs on this forum. Sean Clement. There's no E at the end of Sean Clement, by the way. He's not a Clemente. Just so if you want to make sure this is officially a form. Every other person on Evan's Twitter timeline. I'm reading this for the people that are not watching.
No, perfect. No, this is perfect.
Get effed.
Now I'm
making it rated R, but yes.
No, so we're not going to do all the handles. The duration of hate, forever. Forever. Since the contract was signed. And by the way, this guy's up for extension soon. Oh. I think he's got 2 years remaining, I want to say. We could do it a year early. We could show him some love after what he did today. So you know what? Since definitely the beginning of the season, oh my God, there's so many habitual doubters, habitual haters. Yeah. Oh my God. And we even have an apology, confession, and pledge section, by the way.
Okay.
So I if you doubted Jason Myers before today, if you are in my mentions, if you guys have been shitting on this guy forever, seeking harm against this man, rooting against him, causing him emotional pain, tagging him on Twitter, I want you to sign the following. I want you to read the following out loud in your homes. I, the undersigned, whatever your name is, hereby formally and unequivocally apologize to Jason Myers for my short-sightedness, lack of faith, and gross misjudgment. I was wrong. I admit my doubt was unfounded and irrelevant to the success of his majestic kicks. And I vow to never doubt his leg, his clutch genes, or his MVP caliber and Pro Bowl level kicker status again. All past doubts are hereby retroactively nullified and replaced with eternal motherfucking gratitude. Get fucked to every hater. Get fucked to every doubter. Fuck off. I never want to see it in my mentions again. Go fuck yourselves. The only reason the Seahawks are 11-3 today, this absolute disaster class by the offense today, with the exception of Jason Myers, it's all because of him. It's all because of him. So there's a lot of repentance.
I'm gonna need this form, dude. I need this form because I will be posting my form on Twitter.
I'll just say it's legally binding for the duration of Jason Myers' career. So I'll be bringing this up. I'll stop sharing my screen now, but I'm gonna make this freely available because I think there's a lot of people who need to confess, frankly. So just want to share.
I love that, dude. That was outstanding. That was outstanding. Oop! How did I lose you here? There we go. That's what was going on. All right. I got to talk to Jason Myers because that, first of all, that was amazing. Second of all, this guy won the game.
Yeah.
He won the freaking game. And for them to leave him with a 56-yard field goal after he already made five kicks and for him to drill that thing with room to spare.
Oh my God, man.
That was huge, man. Like any one of those kicks, the kick right before halftime, I was texting you. I was like, man, this is the type of kick he misses. You know, they need him. It was 13-3, right? And then his kick made it 13-6.
Yeah.
They needed every single one of those. And that was great, dude. It was, I 100% owe him and you an apology. I'm not going to even hide from it, man. That was fan-freaking-tastic. I'm super grateful because, let's face it, dude, this game was in peril.
Oh, my God, man.
This game was – I got a text from my wife, Rachel, who doesn't watch these games, and she literally said, I can't believe they won that game. When Rachel's saying that, dude, you know, it's ugly time.
I'm honestly, like, pretty embarrassed myself, though. Like, I'm sorry if you hear that. I'm pretty embarrassed myself, though, because, like, I spent most of this week, like, feeling like this game was going to be a cakewalk. I really did. Like, I was really confident going into this game. I think on our prediction show, I predicted like a 14-point-plus win. I know several other folks did too. Phillip Rivers looked like he couldn't throw the football more than 15 yards without like severely struggling. And yes, the one or two times it was like an 11 or 12 yard pass. Like it looked like it took his whole body to throw those ducks. But, yeah, I mean, I have a lot of criticism. I think there's a lot of criticism to go around today, particularly on the offensive side of the ball. A lot of people I'm disappointed with, a lot of coaching decisions I'm disappointed with. But I'm going to be honest with you, man. I'm just mentally and emotionally, I don't even want to think about it. I'm locked in on Thursday.
Yeah.
It is beat the fucking Rams.
Yeah.
I do not care what happened today. I do not want to look at the tape. I want them to burn it. I want to pretend it never happened. My focus is on Thursday and taking another step towards winning the NFC West. I don't know. That's just where I'm at mentally.
For folks that don't know, if you don't know, the Rams also won. They came from behind against the Lions, beat them 41-34 in LA. And, you know, did their thing like they always do. But, I got a bunch of places to go with this.
Yeah.
First thing I'll say is pretty much what you said. It's not as much about attention to the Rams. Mm. It is in that game, which obviously is the focus starting tomorrow. But I feel like every team, even the best teams, have games like this.
They do.
And the Seahawks, I was so unused to, Evan, being there at the end of a home game this year and actually, like, being there to the very end. Since, like, the 49ers game, there hasn't been a close home game for the most part.
Totally.
And the fact that for all the things we'll talk about that were bad in this game, and we're going to talk about them, not blind to them, Sam Darnold has been accused of not being able to come and like, lead them down the stretch to win a game.
Yeah.
He took them on a 82-yard drive that started at their 6-yard line when they were down 15-13, got all the way into the red zone. It would have been great, obviously, to score a touchdown, and I think he missed some throws, so I'll be honest about that.
Sure.
But he puts him ahead, and then he does it again. They got the ball with, you know, there was 42 seconds to go.
By the way, they only got that ball back with 42 seconds to go because Mike McDonald made some really what I felt like brilliant clock management decisions, something we've been criticizing him over the past couple of maybe weeks for. He used those timeouts unconventionally early. He left them time. So the only reason Jason Myers got an opportunity, Sam Darnold got an opportunity, was because of that clock management.
I'm glad you brought that up, and you might be surprised that my first criticism of all the things we're going to criticize was the fact that they came out on that 82-yard drive.
Yeah.
And they were taking their time in the huddle. Like they were going to like drive to end the game. Mm-hmm. And I thought like when they took the ball, I turned to my friend. I was like, they get two possessions. Like they're only gonna have two more possessions and they need to probably, they're going to score potentially twice, but at least once.
Yeah.
And they had not been good enough on offense to like go into a shell and be like, all right, we're going to bleed the clock. So I hated the clock management on that drive, because if they had actually just gone normal to get to the line and move down the field as, you know, with pace, they wouldn't have had the situation at the end where they were down to like no time left and had to use all those timeouts. So I didn't like the 5 minute or 6 minute clock management, but I agree with you. Thank goodness they did it in that field goal situation. And my God, dude, that was a 60 yard field goal and he made it with room to spare.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did.
What were you thinking when that went in?
You know, I was really focused on not herniating another disc, to be honest with you, because I was like pumping my hands. I was like, Evan, this is a moment here. Don't hurt yourself again. I'm going to be honest with you. I was pretty dead inside. I was chalking this game up to a loss, because this is a game, Brian, like you kind of mentioned, that I feel like over the past couple of years, the Seahawks have lost.
Yes.
Frankly. And this is a loss that the Seahawks last year would have lost as well. Frankly, they're starting to win, starting to get off. It feels like a foothold on winning these super ugly, dirty games. If you look back to the championship teams, I know everybody hates doing this, but like 2013, 2014, like not every win was like a blowout. It was incredibly dirty, incredibly messy. There were some, you know, some second half collapses by the Legion of Boom. Like I remember the Bengals game, like there were really good football teams sometimes have really bad Sundays, but yet they find a way to win in really disgustingly horrible ways. And that's what happened today.
Well, so. I've been talking about this all week, at least since Wednesday when I did the first look preview, that I thought this was a challenging game for them because for all the reasons, everyone like Philip Rivers, old, like sucks, whatever, hasn't played in 5 years. I was like, well, the Colts still have a really good offensive line. They have a really good run game. They have a good coach who's been really putting them in good position. I thought what was going to be the dam breaking was DeForest Buckner not making it back for this game and their two corners being out. I thought the offense would actually be the thing that sung today. The fact that it didn't, I think some credit to the Colts, a lot of like, what were you doing, guys? What was happening in this game? I think the game plan for me is I got some questions for Mr. Kubiak. All the hate's going to go for Sam Darnold, but what was that game plan, man? Like,
I mean, they had their top two corners out and they were dead set on running the football and they refused to test their secondary until very late in the game. It made no sense.
Well, and the guys came out making all sorts of mistakes, dude. Like that drop from JSN on that was a huge play. And then and then AJ Barner makes the next catch for another first down, but they lined up offsides. And then they get a big kickoff return, but there's a hold, the block in the back. And then, you know, like a false start.
Brady Russell or whatever his name is.
Brady Russell,
he had a huge drop.
Come on, guys.
May have been a touchdown, to be honest. Like, There was a lot of execution and like discipline related errors, it felt like.
And defensively, I just felt, I mean, overall, it felt like it was hard for the Seahawks to find, like they've been so good, Evan, at taking every shitty team seriously and every team that they should smack, they've been ready to smack them. Mm-hmm. And today it just felt like a bridge too far. Like, I think that the defense felt disrespected that Philip Rivers was out there. And then when things like there was only almost nothing good they could do, like if they held him to nothing, people would say, of course, why would they get anything? And if they gave up anything, it looks like shit. So it's a little hard to get motivated, you know, psychologically for that kind of game. Like you can't win.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, I will say this, like they have 4 days to get their act together because what they've been doing over the past couple of weeks, I think they need to, I think the offensive coaching staff, I think Sam Darnold, I think the entire unit, the entire positional side of the football needs to take a look in the mirror and figure out what's going on. Because if they act like how they've performed over the past couple of weeks, Thursday's going to be really difficult.
Yeah, it's not, they're not playing. Like the ideal, besides getting a blowout and resting your guys for Thursday, the ideal would be that Sam Darnold looked in rhythm and they were feeling like the offense was clicking again. And so you go into that game feeling some momentum. Mm-hmm. You feel there is a little momentum because you won, right?
Yeah.
But Sam Darnold has just not looked like the same guy the last, since the Rams game. He just has not looked like the same guy.
There were, well, he fumbled, but they didn't recover it. There were no turnovers today offensively.
Such a good call, dude.
Like
that hasn't, like,
it's worth noting.
Mike McDonald has never lost a game where they don't turn the ball over. He's undefeated.
I feel like it's worth noting though, because I feel like one turnover, just one, would have flipped the outcome of this game.
Completely.
I really believe it. Like,
how many times were the Seahawks field position was such a big part of this game? How many times were the Seahawks backed up in their own end zone?
Yeah.
And how many times this year, especially at home, have we seen Sam Darnold make some absolute backbreaking mistake?
Totally. Can I call out two players one player positively that I think is slowly starting to make an impact offensively and even on special teams? Is Shahid. He's starting to, the total volume isn't there, obviously, but like the catches, like the impact measured per play, like per reception, feels massive. Every time he touches the football, like I know there's a gadget handoff where I was like in the first half where I was like super pissed about, but like he had a big time catch to get them into field goal range to win the game. And it just feels like he's making an impact finally.
He is. I thought Cooper Kupp had a good game today too.
He did. I mean, JSN though, like outside of the unconventional drop, he had a big day.
I was just looking at the numbers for the first time.
Yeah.
And I would not have guessed he had 113 yards.
Yeah, that it was that breakaway where he spun out of a tackle. Uh-huh. It was like 40 yards.
It was 40 yards, like 39 yards. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He ends up 7-113, and it didn't feel that way for a lot of that game.
Can I bring up something that I think we were talking about in our chat?
Before you do, I just want to say Rashid Shaheed, 5 catches, 74 yards.
That's big.
That's the second straight game where he's been around 70 yards. And I think that's the sweet spot for him, you know, and had some big, big catches, like game winning kind of catches in big moments. So yeah, go ahead.
Real quick before I do, I'm seeing some stuff that Devontae Adams is going to be out on Thursday.
That is what I'm seeing as well. And actually, I think we have a super chat to that. Let me put that up here since someone already said it. Mark Bess 5179 says Devontae Adams pulled his hamstring and is doubtful for Thursday. Go Hawks.
Jesus.
Yeah. So I have not verified that, but it sounds like that's the case. I also heard that Micah Parsons tore an ACL.
He did. That's confirmed by Adam Schefter.
Wow.
That's
huge.
And the Packers lost
today. Let's check out the standings right now in the NFC, where things stand. So the Rams 11-3, Seahawks 11-3. They're the only two 11-3 teams in the NFL. 49ers and Bears 10-4, and they face each other next week. So they're gonna play. The Packers. Packers fall to 9-4, and they're right ahead of, I think they're 9-4-1. Lions fall to 8-6. So I think as it stands right now, how many teams make the playoffs? Seven, six.
It's only one bye.
Right. So the Packers are barely in. They would be the last seed. The Bucks at 7-7 because the Panthers lost to the Saints again. Bucks are back on top of that division. What a pillow fight that's turning into.
Yeah.
And then, so this is from top to bottom. Rams 11-3, Bears 10-4, Eagles 9-5, Bucks, because they're division leader, 7-7, are the fourth seed. Seahawks are the fifth seed, would travel to Tampa Bay as it stands. 49ers 10-4, Packers 9-4-1. So again, Seahawks control their destiny. They win the rest of their games. They are the number one seed and they get a bye.
Yeah.
They are not going to win all the rest of their games. They play the way they played today.
there's one other person we have to call out. I'm trying to like, because I'm going to be honest with you. When I'll be super vulnerable for a second with you, Brian. There's been like a couple of traumatic moments in my life, like personally, right? And when I think back to those traumatic moments, it's actually hard for me to remember the details because it's like a blur, right? Trauma's like a blur. Yes. And that Seahawks game feels like a blur to me. Like I'm struggling to remember like specific details of what happened. But like one player that really stands out to me that is just, we should not be taking for granted and deserves as much praise as possible, Nick Emanwori. Oh my God, this guy is insane. The impact he is having, he's everywhere. There's so many plays I could call out where he's in the backfield. He's about ready to like sumo wrestle and like slam Jonathan Taylor, although he doesn't, which would have been a flag on one play.
That was such a good play, dude.
It was so mature. It was
so good.
It was the play he didn't make that I was like, oh my God, I see the vision. Like you are the real fucking deal. Like the impact he is having in his rookie year. It's insane. He's everywhere. He's everywhere. Like I want to get his jersey. He's insane.
He is so fun, man. 21 years old. And for people that care, which most people won't, the in-game PFF grade, which always gets changed, he was the number one graded defender in this game, 87.3. He had a 90.3 coverage grade, had the sack. I thought there were some great plays in the run, man. Like him attacking the line of scrimmage and bringing Jonathan Taylor down and
They've got a plan for how to use him. And it feels like whenever there's some splash sort of like stand off the TV sort of type of play, it feels like he's always involved. It just does.
Yeah.
At a very simple level. Like he is causing chaos. And how many picks does he have on the air? Is it just one or does he have two?
I think it's just one.
Just one. Okay.
Yeah. Last week was his first.
I'm just so excited about him. Like I'm trying to think of the last defensive player that we drafted that had a year one impact as high as this. Does it go back to Bobby Wagner? Yeah, does it go back to the teens, like the 2010s?
I think so. Yeah, I mean,
I can't think of anybody else. Like Byron Murphy was okay.
Frank Clark did not have a rookie year like this. He eventually was, but no. I mean, to come in as a rookie and do what he's done is absolutely insane. I'm going to look real quick just to see if there's anyone else we're forgetting. Byron Murphy was good last year, not this impactful. Devin Witherspoon, maybe his rookie year was pretty damn good.
People are calling out Woolen too. I think that's a good one.
Woolen, because
he had like eight picks. I think he had eight picks his first year.
Yeah, he was
year,
almost the defensive rookie of the year. So I think that's a pretty good one. But speaking of that, can we stop this bullshit about Carson Schwechinger of the Cleveland Browns winning defensive rookie of the year? I mean,
is that real? Like, are people saying that?
He's the favorite. He's the heavy favorite, man. And he is not playing in games like this. He is not contributing to potentially the number one overall seed, the way Nick Emanwori is. Nick Emanwori might have been the best defender on the field in this game. And like, come on, man. Can we stop with that?
He's getting so good, Brian, that when I zoom out on this Seahawks roster and particularly this defense, if there's one player that you pull out that I'm worried would like his absence would have a materially negative impact, the greatest materially negative impact on that side of the football, Emanwori is up there for me. It really, he's up there.
Yeah. I think that makes sense, dude.
Like he's a guy you can't lose with how they're utilizing him.
You know, it's worth a shout out as well. It's like the end of the game, but Devin Witherspoon.
Yes.
Tips that ball for what ends up being the game clinching pick. And Josh, you know, in our conversation was kind of like, oh man, this just feels like a Hollywood ending waiting to happen for the Colts. And it did, right? It felt like that was coming.
Yeah.
And that was a huge play to end it. And for Kobe Bryant to make the interception was great. I was so frustrated that the Seahawks could not, when the Colts dropped back, mm-hmm. Seahawks could not get pass rush, man. What was
going on? Yeah, they couldn't.
They had both their starting tackles out in this game, and the Seahawks could not get home. Like, where is the edge pressure? That continues to be something that's just a little like Chinua Nwosu used to be like sacking people every week for a while. We haven't heard from him. DeMarcus Lawrence was making a bunch of plays. Didn't hear as much from him this game. Boye Mafe, Derek Hall got hurt and came back. But like, where was the edge pressure, man?
It was absent. I think the only sack they got was off the, or did they have two sacks on the day?
I think they had two. They ended up only officially giving them one. I think the fumbled snap, I think they're calling not a sack.
I think I'm borderline okay with that, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, because it was just a high snap and it just flew up and he just like, you know, fell on the football. I don't even know what the other sack was, to be honest with you.
He was like trying to get toward the line of scrimmage, and I think he just didn't get there. It was Nick's sack.
Gotcha. I'm trying to stay positive in my brain.
Let's get a little negative for a second, because I think we have to represent that, because everyone's frustrated too, right? The whole time, Evan, I was just like, get in the end zone and this whole thing's going to flip. Just get in the end zone, because the Colts cannot, like, the only time they were behind, they turned the ball over. Like, they are not equipped. Well, actually, that's not true. They ended up scoring that field goal at the end, but they're not equipped for that. And they could not do it. And so the game script, just everything kept going exactly as the Colts needed it, or else they would have lost this game by a lot of points. And so,
can I call out a specific play?
Yeah.
Coaching decision that like really bothered me. It was somewhere in the first half. I want to say it was the first quarter. It was a third down and like four or five. And they were in the Colts like red zone. It may have been the first quarter, actually, because I remember being early on annoyed about this. And they took the ball out of Sam Darnold's hand. We don't know if Sam Darnold checked into it, but I think they did like a shotgun handoff or something to Charbonnet, where they pulled the right guard, Anthony Bradford, mm-hmm. over to the left side. And I don't know what exactly happened, but it was like, I remember they had been passing the ball successfully, like on that drive.
Yeah.
And then that happened on third and four. And I was like, you're relying on a key Anthony Bradford block, like on third and four. Like, I don't know about that. Like, I'm sorry. I'm not
Evan, they were 0 for 2 in the red zone. They were 2 for 13 on third down.
That's so bad.
It was really bad. And they ended up being 1 for 1 on fourth downs. I had a stat I'm going to check back after this, but before today, mm-hmm. Mike McDonald had the Seahawks had the fewest fourth down attempts in the league. And yet they were like top 8 in conversion. So mm-hmm. I think there's a conversation to be had here about Mike McDonald. You know, this is a smart dude, and mm-hmm. I feel like he's talking himself out of being more aggressive on fourth downs, and I think his offense might need him to, like, he's seeming like he is infusing doubt by not going for it sometimes and not being aggressive. And maybe what they were thinking there is third and four, if they get 2 yards, they're still going to go for it.
Yeah.
But it just,
the run game was just disgusting today.
It was like pulling teeth, dude. It was so hard to watch.
I don't even know. Like, I know Sundell like made the start today at center. I kind of wonder if maybe that wasn't the right call and we should have left Olu in there, but I'm not content with anybody's performance execution wise in the run game. And like, I'll be honest with you, I mentioned this over text to you guys, I think, like, K9 Charbonnet, I think we can do better, man. I'm so frustrated with their inconsistency week to week. Like, I thought K9 left yards on the field today. I really did.
The first play of the game, that had like a house call potentially.
It did. I'm getting to the point, Brian, where I'm so frustrated with our backfield's inconsistency week to week. I'm not even talking about the run blocking. Like, yes. I think we need to upgrade at that position. I do. And Charbonnet had, by the way, a huge fucking missed pass block where he had to pick up a free rusher. I forget where this was in the game, but it stood out to me on third
yep.
down.
Yep. No, you're like remembering the game way better than I do, dude. It's impressive.
But that's what Charbonnet's supposed to be fucking good at. Like,
yeah,
bro, you're slow as shit. It makes me wonder if we pulled off a random fucking college running back off the fucking street, how much worse would our run game really be? Maybe I'm exaggerating an emotion of pain right now, but like, we have to upgrade at this position in the offseason. I'm done.
It's interesting. Done. I understand why you're frustrated. I think that they've been doing pretty damn well the last few weeks, to be honest. I think this game was not their best. I thought Charbonnet was better than K9 in this game as a runner, for sure.
Sure.
There was a run where Charbonnet had a tone-setting run late in the game where it ran to the right and just trucked a guy. And it's like, that's the kind of runner he's supposed to be. And we don't see that as much. I mean, I remember 2 years ago, I think it was 3 years ago, when he had that that stiff arm near the goal line and just absolutely threw a guy to the ground. Like, he's built to be that. So it was, the Seahawks had 3 yards rushing in the first half, dude. 3 yards. His first carry of the second half went for 4. So they did finish with, I think, 50 yards rushing. I mean, nothing to write home about, but I mean, 47 yards rushing and a half is an improvement over 3, but it was just so hard. Their yards per play today, 5.3, is just mid.
How many rushing yards did Jonathan Taylor end with?
Oh, that's a good one. I was wondering if he was going to get, he ended up with 87.
Okay. But he was held close. He was held under 100, which is important.
The whole team only had 97 total.
Okay.
But I mean, Philip Rivers, the people are going to say he outplayed Sam Darnold, which they can if they want. I'm going to give you the actual numbers.
That's not true at all. I don't think
people are going to say that.
That's insane.
He's 18 to 27, 120 yards, 4.4 yards per throw, 1 touchdown, 1 interception, sacked once.
That's not
Sam Darnold's numbers: 22 of 36, 271 yards, 7.5 yards per throw, no touchdowns, no interception, 1 sack, and 84.4 rating. Not a great game for Sam.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a terrible game. I thought some people said it was terrible. I don't think Sam was that bad this game.
I think the best plays that Sam made today were the plays he did not make. Like, there were opportunities where he was like scrambling, and you could tell he was freaking out, and he took some hits today, by the way.
He did.
He like got rocked. But like, you know, rewind like a month or two, those were moments where he would throw the football into traffic into like triple or quadruple coverage. Yes. And we'd be like, why the hell did you do that? And instead he's tucking the football. And it seems like there's a conceded effort to a focused effort to use his legs a little bit more, but he didn't put I'm trying to think of a single play where he miscalculated and put the football in harm's way.
The pass wise, he didn't today.
That's so what I'm saying.
That's like, really good.
That's a big deal.
His running, there was some, for the old school fans, there was some Matt Hasselbeck giraffe on ice, as Mike Holmgren used to call him. Like, dude, just slide. Like, just get down. And why is it when someone hits you, the ball just ejects from your hands, like, immediately all the time? Stop doing that.
That was funny.
But generally, I thought he played well. I thought there was definitely some throws he missed. No question about it. There was one in the red zone on the second to last kick where it looked like he threw it behind Cooper Kupp.
He did.
But I think he expected Cooper Kupp to settle into that spot.
Oh, I see.
I think it was a miscommunication.
Yeah.
But the throw to Rashid Shaheed in the end zone was definitely behind him. It was not in front. And here's the thing. I just think my overall description of Sam's game was tentative.
Yeah.
When he was running, he didn't seem confident about doing throwing in the pocket. His pocket movement was not confident. And I'll say this, man, if you want to beat the Rams on Thursday, that tentative can't be in the plan. Even if you throw another four picks, you've got to get out there and like let it rip. Like he cannot be in his own head and beat a team.
I 100% agree with you, Brian. I'm going to read into a moment that I probably shouldn't speculate on, but I'm going to do it regardless. There was a moment in the third quarter where the camera panned to Sam. I think it was like late third quarter, maybe early fourth, where they panned to Sam on the bench. And this man's body language, he was staring into the abyss.
Really?
Like it was like he was in a different, and it wasn't like, it wasn't like, I don't know if fear was the right body language descriptor, but it was like traumatized almost.
Mm-hmm.
And that concerned me. But you know what? It proves I don't know shit, because he went back and he did lead a very successful drive to win the football game. So
I've got a few things there. So one, people keep saying he's not good. He hasn't, like, in the big moments, he hasn't led the team. Against the Rams, he led them down from the 1 yard line to what could have been a, like, with no time.
Yep.
That's a really freaking tough situation. And I think they had a drive before that in that game to make the field goal even a meaningful kick. And then this time he did it twice. So I don't think that's necessarily a fair criticism, but I don't know, man. I'm sitting here looking at this team on offense and the vibe in the stadium. I don't know if you could feel it, but it was tentative too. Like the fans were worried the whole time. And if you look at the defense usually has enough vocal guys to get them going. I thought they were a little flat.
Yeah.
I don't see anybody on that offense when things are quiet and they're struggling. There is no like clear leader to grab people by the collar and be like, boys, it's time.
Yeah.
I don't know if worry is the right word, but it's got my attention a little bit. Like who's going to be the person that pulls them out of a spin in a big moment? I don't know who it is.
Yeah. You were there today, right? In the stadium?
I was. Yeah.
Always. Oh, well, duh. You mentioned the fan thing at the beginning. I forgot. I'll say this on the TV broadcast, the first half, we heard a lot of boos. We heard a lot of boos.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be honest with you. I thought it was completely justified.
Yeah.
How poorly the offense showed up, discipline wise, execution wise, mistake after mistake, just shooting themselves in their own, on their, you know, like it's not like the defense is like making crazy plays or anything like this. It's like execution errors.
There was a lot of boos for the refs too, by the
way.
Sure. I think that was a lot of it, but there's part of me that didn't actually, like, it's a little entitled, dude, as a fan.
This team is
10-3.
Okay.
They came into this game the second highest scoring offense. They're heading towards being the highest scoring offense in the history of this franchise.
Sure.
They have, if not the best defense in football, right near it. Mm-hmm. They've been blowing people the hell off the field. And so you get in this game and your team's struggling. And it used to be, and this is going to sound like unk, you know, I'm going to own up to it because I've been a Seahawks fan for a really long time and going to the games. 20 years ago, a game like that for a Super Bowl contending team, the crowd looks to lift the team.
Sure.
They're looking to like cheer them on. I felt like there was a lot of just kind of, dude, unless like I'm going to boo you until you actually like entertain me kind of stuff. I don't love that energy. I understand why it was frustrating, but I feel like the fans can do better.
Yeah, I don't know
you
if I
disagree.
I don't know if I agree with you on that. I mean, I'll just say this, like the slow starts are, they're starting to rack up and they're going on something like 12 or 13 games without a touchdown on the first drive. Like they're overall big picture, you're right. Their season offensive stats are very good. Some of the best in the league, but I saw the charts you're sending. Like they're not as good as the first half. Like directionally, it's not positive.
No.
Like that's, I guess what I would say. It's like, I think they're capable of more.
Well, you hope so. You hope so. And I mean, we'll talk plenty about this game Thursday that's coming up, and we'll wrap up here. There's a bunch of super chats. Let's get through these and let you get on with your night. I got to see my family who's wondering where I am. So Keenan Crutcher says, all the crap I give Jay Myers in the past for missing timely kicks, I take it all back, in all caps. Stout defense, a win is a win, go Hawks. Mm-hmm. Greg Whitworth has gifted 20 Hawk Blogger memberships. I will tell you, folks, I'm a little bit like, oh shit. I promise that when we get to 30,000 subs on here, I'm going to give tickets away to the next game. We are at, as of right now, we are at 29,916 subs. So there's a decent chance I'm going to have to buy tickets for this Rams game and give them away to some of you. But really appreciate Greg giving away 20 Hawk Blogger memberships. Sooks 60 says, F that dude, F the Rams, let's go Hawks. Evan, I apologize for ever doubting J-Mai. Get ready for Thursday, lads. I love that one. Whitney says, I'm going to Shick Shadle before the Rams game. Do you know what that is?
I don't know what that is. I'm a little
that
scared.
That is though. a addiction help rehab location for people that have to rehab from abuse. So,
oh geez.
I think some people are feeling the need for substances to deal with the Rams game. OEL says, how huge was Rashid Shaheed on that game-winning drive by Donald? This is what we envisioned when they acquired him, since the opponents concentrate on JSN. Can we give John Schneider some flowers on that? They didn't need a receiver, right? They had Torrey Horton. Imagine if they didn't make that move. Torrey Horton's been out, and we don't know when he's coming back. Do they win this game if they didn't make that trade?
I was about to pose the exact same question, and no, I don't think they do.
That's exec of the year stuff, dude. Like that's huge.
It is.
12 Man North says, Seahawks beat the Colts and Rivers noodle arm despite the ref's best efforts. Big ups to our guy, J-Mai. How do you think the Seahawks will get this run game going? Any thoughts? You think it's running backs? I mean, I don't know, dude. It was rough today.
It's frustrating because I feel like before today, they were actually starting to get some momentum.
Right. Right.
Like 7 days ago. Yes. I was like, you know, I'm feeling more confident. I don't know. Hope they bounce back Thursday.
Amy Holmes says, Demon Worry by not suplexing a tackle player.
That's one of my favorite plays of the game. Is that not play?
I'm so glad you brought that up because I literally said, I was like, no.
I literally saw, you could see it. You could see him wanting to do it too. You were like.
Have you ever seen a player stop in mid suplex? Because I haven't. Usually it always ends up happening.
How old is this guy? Nick Eman Ward.
21, dude.
He's born in 2004. That's disgusting. He's so mature. I'm so proud of him.
OEL said, Sam also did not throw a pick. No footballs bouncing off opponents' helmets this time on that game-winning drive. Yeah, like, good stuff. Greg Whitworth says, what made the ref situation worse was the commentator saying it was a savvy vet solution. In the second quarter, JSN, people focus on the 53, but another guy after the whistle tackles him after he's getting up. They literally, like, yanked his helmet off his head and made no call. The play before that, the guy is like riding him like he's a giraffe.
God. I forgot about that two-play sequence.
It was awful, man. It was really, really unacceptable. And then the third down pass interference on Job.
Oh,
the ref that was nowhere near the play. Everybody that was close to it was like, nope, that's not PI.
I screamed. Dude. I almost like committed a felony. Like that was infuriating.
God, that's aggravating. OEL says, Evan, just so you know, I never badmouthed Myers once. Whenever he came on to kick, I was expecting him to make the kick. He's not Jake Moody.
Hell yeah.
All right, good dude. Greg Whitworth says, sorry, I got to do this. Three men worry. No apologies necessary, Greg. Devontae Adams, oh, we already talked about this one. Mark Miller says, every good team has a win like this. Proverbial, we sucked and found a way to win games, sticking together, and that's going to happen. Be grateful. That's a skill earned in tight games. Mm-hmm. There's a chance this could have been a Steelers-like game, dude, with Mason Rudolph and the Seahawks having a lot more on the line. And I won't go back into it, but it is really hard to beat a team that is coming in knowing the whole world thinks they're not going to have a chance. And they're all united in this game. The Colts gave everything they had in this one.
Absolutely. The Seahawks were fighting against the world in this game and the referees. Like, yes. It was a nightmare.
All right, couple more here. Keenan Crutcher, from a point of view of wanting to keep Kubiak another season, do these string of games of offense being extremely slow lessen his head coach chances? Yes, I think they do.
You don't gotta worry about it.
That's a really funny positive spin. Livin' Beerin Adventures has become a member. Welcome, dude, to the party. Colin Lindstrom, our old friend Colin, says, Brian, willed this team to win today. NFC Writer of the Week. That is nice of you, man. Very nice.
I want you to offers.
Yeah, go ahead.
I want you to ask Kubiak some tough questions this week. I know you will, but
I mean, I don't go into it trying to ask tough questions. I go into it trying to understand like what's going on and yeah. So we'll see. I'm not trying to put him in a tough spot. Jay Malfair says, I'm glad I put on precautionary depends for that game. that was rough. That was McDonald with no tape, no pressure. Interesting. Detail oriented says, Brian and Evan, honest question. Should we give serious consideration to drafting a running back this year? Evan, yeah. I think you have your answer. You want to draft a running back?
Yes, in the later rounds. Yeah.
Okay. Detail oriented. One more thing to give people perspective about this season. Remember that we were picked to be the worst team in the division this year. And I think the line was 7.5 wins. We're playoff bound. That's a win. Did we actually clinch the playoffs? I didn't pay attention to that part.
I don't think so, because aren't the Niners.
No,
I
mean, we have not clinched the playoffs yet.
Yeah. I have not seen it at least.
No, but I think we are heading that way. Pringlo does not have something to say. And the last one here, Seahawks 17 defense has allowed one touchdown in the last 12 quarters. It's a good one, dude. That's a good number.
Can I just like air one other grievance?
You can do whatever you want, my friend.
To the Seahawks that pissed me off today. Bo Nix played really fucking well today. And like that pisses me off. Like Broncos fans experiencing some level of joy is completely unacceptable to me.
Packers fans feeling some like dread isn't the worst thing though.
I freaking hate the Packers too, man. So it's a win-win with that game for me, but their Super Bowl hopes take a big step back with Micah.
Oh my God.
Like that's a
huge,
they've had a lot of injuries to key players this year too. They're tight end. I forget his name, but
I want to, okay, so Sean McVay says Davante Adams is optimistic about his left hamstring injury, but the head coach said he can't imagine it's a good thing on a short week. So I think it's a little strong to say that he's not going to play.
I think it'd be unwise for them to rush him, though.
You're so funny, dude.
No, I'm being serious, though.
Like, no, I know, it's probably true.
Like he aggravated a hamstring injury today. Like they're famous for not rushing those things back.
Dude. All right. I have more to say.
No, let's talk about it.
I got to go hang with the fam and we'll do more another time. I'll probably have Sunday night stats later, brother. We haven't had a team this good to share and talk about. So I hope you're enjoying that part.
It is. I mean, let me tell you this. I'll phrase it this way. Thursday night is a game I'm going to be sweating all week long. All week long. It is wake up tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., fuck the Rams, beat the Rams. Work starts, fuck the Rams, beat the Rams. Day ends, fuck the Rams, beat the Rams. Tuesday morning, repeat process. Wednesday morning, fuck the Rams, beat the Rams. Process restarts all the way through Thursday night. This is the biggest home game or just Seahawks game in general and what I feel like is many, many years.
Years
because
and years.
They have the opportunity to secure the one seed. And if they do that and, you know, get to the Super Bowl on a neutral field, man, this is a team that has played very well in opposing environments. So
I love that.
Huge opportunity.
And I see there's at least somebody in chat and folks like, you know, okay, can you see why people aren't bought into this team? And I don't like, everyone can feel however they want to feel about this team. My main point is 11-3 seasons where you've got a legitimately great team, just don't come around that often. So you could spend that season however you want.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying myself, man. I am enjoying. I love this team. I love the players. I love the coaches. I love the front office. I love the style of play. like it. Yeah, there's things that aren't great, but being a fan is to like be there no matter what, especially moments like this, at least to me.
If you could rewind us to the beginning of the season, and we'll end on this, like if you could tell us that we would be in this situation with this record heading into Thursday Night Football with the opportunity to own your own destiny and own the number one seed heading into the playoffs, reclaim the NFC West title, and position yourself very, very well for the playoff scenarios, I think we'd all take it.
Yeah.
And this is an opportunity for this team to step up and show for real that the times have changed. So I hope they do it.
Love that. We'll end on that. That is Evan Hill. I am Brian Emhauser. Make sure if you haven't already to like and subscribe to the channel. Evan, man, take care, dude. It was fun seeing you. Folks, if you're looking for a great deal on tickets for this game, make sure you head on over to SeatGeek. Have a great deal coming from them. Use code HawkBlogger10 to get your deal on SeatGeek. And then obviously go over to Sleeper, the Sleeper app, and make sure that you download Sleeper, use code Hawks, gets you up to $100 match on your first deposit. Terms and conditions apply. See Sleeper terms of use for details. Currently operational over 25 states. Check out Sleeper today and go get your favorite new Seahawks gear over at simplyseattle.com. If you use code HawkBlogger15, not only do you get 15% off, but you also get 5% of your purchase price will go directly to the Fred Hutch Cancer Center's Patient and Family Assistance Fund. Provides vital help with transportation and temporary lodging for patients fighting for their lives. And if you buy a Simply Good hoodie at $25, another $5 will go to Fred Hutch. So get yourself or someone you love a great deal, HawkBlogger15 for 15% off. Have some of that money go directly to charity without having to do anything but getting something great and getting a great deal. That's hard to pass up. So take advantage while you can. I will be back tomorrow with the morning after, both the article and the show. So much more. I will probably do Sunday Night Stats later tonight. Until then, I hope everybody enjoys themselves and has a great rest of your evening. Take care.